Morning. The reading is taken from Luke 18, verse 1 to 14. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, "In a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about men. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, 'Grant me justice against my adversary.' For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, 'Even though I don't fear God or care about men, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice, so that she won't eventually wear me out with her coming.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says, and will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones, who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth?' To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. 2 men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and prayed about himself, 'God, I thank you that I am not like other men, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get.' But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, 'God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted.'"
When you sit in church, you have to smile, eh? I see some very serious people here this morning. I'm glad that you're here as well. So whether you're smiling or frowning, I'm glad you're here. But it would be nice if you would smile. Let's pray. Father, thank you that we have your word. Thank you that we can study it. Thank you that you've calmed our hearts by the glory of your Son. Thank you that every song we've sung is about how good you are, how powerful you are, how kind you are. So Lord, we pray that as we hear that, our own heart's issues, our own concerns may be settled, so that our ears may open, so that we may hear the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ as he addresses us this morning. So we pray, Father, glorify yourself by enabling us to hear your Son as he speaks to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, you should have an outline. We are picking up with Luke again. We have taken a short break with Easter. We're back into Luke. So just to give you a kind of the context again, we are looking at Luke 17 to 19:28. That's another one of these kind of bracketed areas where Luke deals with one theme over that section. He's dealing with the whole idea that Jesus is going to go away and there's going to be a delay in his coming and in the coming of the kingdom. So he's preparing his disciples, saying, "Listen, I'm on my way to Jerusalem. I'm going to go and die there. The kingdom is not going to come in its fullness. You need to now know how to live with me having died and rose. And this is the kind of life you can expect." And that's where we are in one sense. So this is where I said last time, very helpful section this, because this is the first time that we can actually almost take what he says and apply it directly to ourselves. We don't have to do a lot of theological jumping and hooping and making sure we don't get things out of sequence. This is Jesus addressing the issues that will face this world and for those who believe in him between his first coming and his second coming. He's going to come back to that again later in Luke, but this is the last stage of his coming to Jerusalem. He's going to go into Jerusalem and they're going to kill him. That's the next stage in Luke's gospel. So that's where we are. You're with me? So this is good news. This is great section, very applicable to us, and that's what we're going to try and have a look at. So this little section here, what you find is, I've written there quite a long question on your outline. How should we, inverted commas, live now in our wonderfully ordinary, our extraordinarily unjust, and our often deceptive world? So what I've done is, I have taken the three paragraphs. We only read two. The previous paragraph was all about living life in the ordinary and the danger of the ordinary. Many people think life is about food and drink and marriage and planting and sowing, and that's what they live for. And Jesus says, if you live for that, you can be absolutely guaranteed your life will be destroyed. This section, we also live in a world that is fundamentally and thoroughly at times unjust. And that can undo you. And we live in a very deceptive world which can undo you. So as he's preparing his disciples, he's saying, this is the world we're living in. So I don't know if you notice that. Do you put on this TV? Do you watch news? I mean, news is fascinating, isn't it? Have you ever watched an entire news program? It often starts out with something disastrous that has happened, isn't it? Kind of shocking, terrible happened. And then in between somewhere, they give you more kind of a, I guess they realize they can't keep your emotional level at high. They've got to give you something that's not that bad. And they often end off with something nice, something ordinary. Somebody saved a dog, or the dog was cute and it bounced on his hind legs, or, you know. They're entertaining you. But what is good is that they are telling you life is complicated, isn't it? It's not always bad. It's not always good. It is a mixture. And you are living in that world as disciples of Jesus Christ. And Jesus says, I want you as my disciples to know how to respond to this world. So that's really where this thing is going. So this section sits there. So if you look at chapter 18, verse 1, then, very important, at that moment, Jesus has just told them that I'm going to go away. Life is going to, in one sense, carry on. You are going to long to see the days of the kingdom in its fullness, but you will not see it. People will be worried about eating and drinking and marrying and planting and building, and they will do the normal stuff, and then their lives will be destroyed because that's what they are living for. They are not living for me. And so then at that moment, Jesus told them this parable, and both of these next two paragraphs are all about prayer. How do we live in a world that is unjust and sometimes thoroughly unjust? And how do we live in a world that is clearly deceptive? And the deception is where you least expect it. And so he's warning, encouraging, and bracketing for us. So it's actually quite a nice section, isn't it? Cool. You with me? So how should we live? So I just kind of took the joke there. There was a book written, just don't stand there, and then doggy, doggy, doggy. So I took that idea and I developed it around the different voices that you may hear out there, the different echoes in your own heart. In different contexts, you will probably have some of these things. How should we live in this world that are at times wonderfully ordinary, at times incredibly unjust, and at times very deceptive? Well, the pessimist would say, don't just stand there, accept your lot. What did you expect? It may even get worse. Have you heard yourself echo that? In a certain context? Oh, okay, you guys are not pessimistic. Okay, maybe you're optimistic. Don't just stand there. Things tend to work itself out somehow for the better. So smile. Don't worry. Be happy. You found yourself saying that? Or you heard people saying that? Does it sometimes echo in your heart? The activist. Don't just stand there. Do something. You want to change life, you've got to get in there and do something. Good advice. True. Sometimes. All the times. Good religious people tend to say, God, give me the courage to do something. What's the things? Let me change the things I can. And the serenity to accept the things I can't. And the wisdom to know the difference between the two. So that's the normal religious good person. Recognizes life is a bit more complicated. Sometimes I need to do something and sometimes I mustn't do something. And I really would like to know when I should do something and not do something. Focus is still all on me. Jesus says something different. Jesus says, since I have come and will come again, that's the context, believe in me. First thing you must do, always, constantly, I am the first thing you need to have, is believe in me. And don't live for this world, but live in this world for me. This world is not your home. I'm coming again. Don't live for this world. Don't put your heart in this. Don't put your effort in here. Don't put your expectations in here. It will be dashed. Live for me in this world. Big difference, isn't it? Then he carries on, I guess. Don't just stand there in serenity when appropriate. You should do it at times. Don't just do something with courage. When it's appropriate, you probably should. Don't just even know the difference between the two when appropriate. You probably should do that too. But keep seeking my kingdom and expressing your faith in me by ongoing prayer to God for his just kingdom to come fully when I come again. Now we need to slow down there, isn't it? There are times when you need to do something. But if you don't do it by faith, you will actually think your doing will change the world. And it won't. There are times when you shouldn't do something and you think, if I don't do something, it will change the world. It won't. Only thing that will change this world is Jesus Christ coming again. Do you believe that? Is that the prayer of your heart? Yes, Lord, I sometimes must do something and sometimes I mustn't do something and sometimes I must know the difference between the two. But none of that will ever change this world. This world will be at times fantastically, wonderfully ordinary and fantastically unjust and fantastically deceptive. Only person who can change this world is you, and it's only when you come. So that's why Jesus is not the answer for South Africa. If everybody in South Africa converts today, South Africa will still be a mess. Just look at your own life. How long have you been a Christian and how well do you live? That won't even change. It's only when he comes again that life will be fully what we all desire it to be in the light of the gospel. Is that disappointing to you? Or does it give you unbelievable hope? Serious prayer, this, isn't it? You know how many Christians get this confused? They actually think they can change the world. They can't. You can get people to come to believe in Jesus Christ, and when Jesus comes again, he'll change the world. You may make things a little bit better or a little bit worse. I'm not going to change the world. Do you believe that? Is that good news to you or is that bad news to you? Will you get up tomorrow morning and work hard? In the light of the glory of Christ coming. You see what Jesus is saying to his disciples? Is you will sometimes want to settle down because things are okay at the moment. He says, don't live for that. It will come to an end. And the descriptions he's given us, so maybe just flip back to chapter 17 very quickly, verse 26. Just as in the days of Noah, so also will it be in the days of the Son of Man. People were eating and drinking and marrying and being given in marriage up to the day Noah entered the ark. Then the flood came and destroyed them all. When your life is going well, be careful that you actually think that is what God's intent is. It is not. It is only for a time. The end is coming. So please don't get your kids to live for the next good moment and think that's what it's about. Neither should you. He says it twice, just for in case we may not get it. So verse 28, it was the same in the days of Lot. People were eating and drinking, buying and selling, planting and building. But the day the Lot left Sodom, fire and sulfur rained down from heaven and destroyed them all. Do not put your heart and your hope in this world. It will be judged by God when he comes again through his Son, Jesus Christ. So don't do it. Now you've got to work hard. If you do not believe in Jesus Christ, you will want to settle down. That would be a mistake, says Jesus. If you live for this world, you will lose it. If you lose your life in this world, you will gain it. Very important for us to hear that, isn't it? We've got to get the message clear. We're all working for a better society, but we never for one moment should think that is what we're going to get right. The message is Jesus Christ is King. Not we can, by doing what is good and right, bring everything together. That's fair. If it's not good news to you yet, you're still stuck there, isn't it? Then we've got to do it. And we've got to be better Christians to change the world. I don't want to be nasty, but good luck to you. I love us to be better Christians, but we are not going to bring in the kingdom. All right. So, how do I pray when things are going well? In other words, how do I have kingdom prayers when things are going well? Do not be too easily pleased, heart. God's kingdom and the glory and the splendor of God is much more than the good that I am currently maybe experiencing. Please, Lord Jesus, let me not settle for less than your kingdom. You ever prayed that? When it's going well? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Going great. Lekker. My house is paid. My kids are doing fine. My finances are okay. kind of don't murder one another in this house. Things are kind of cool. Do you pray, Lord Jesus, please do not let me settle for this, because your kingdom is greater than this. Your glory is more than this. Let me live for you, not try and protect the little good that I have at the moment. So you can live in two ways. You can either be anxious about the ordinary things of life, or you can, because you want more, or you have more, you're scared somebody else wants the more you have. Greed. Cuts two ways. One, I want more. Other one, I'm scared I lose what I have. I'm living for this world, not for Jesus Christ. He says, watch out. You will undo yourself if you live for the good of this life. There are times when it goes well. Don't mistake that for my kingdom. It's not the same thing. You excited? Doesn't look like it. You've got to think this through, what Jesus is saying. But there are other realities and times, and that's in our next little parable. Times when life is unbelievably unjust. Now, if you look at the detail, I mean, you probably can't find a worse situation described here in two lines. There was a judge, and he cared nothing for what God thinks, and he cared nothing for what human thinks. I mean, you can't even bribe that guy, because he doesn't care. I mean, that's probably the worst guy you want to have a judge. He's not concerned with God thinks, he's not concerned with you think or anybody else thinks. I mean, you toast. Other suggestions, it's a widow. Now, widows in those days were a little bit different. They didn't have a pension fund that's left behind by their husbands most of the time. They were destitute. She's got no clout. She's got no social standing. She's got no way of forcing this man to do what is just. She is being ruined by somebody else. She goes to the only guy who she can, and he doesn't care. You know what? You find situations like that in love. Maybe you've experienced that. Maybe you are experiencing that. Maybe you see some of your loved ones experiencing that. Maybe you switch the TV on often enough to notice that there are people that are living like that. So what do you then pray? Jesus is saying, I want you to keep on praying to me that my kingdom will come. If this woman could persuade this man who does not care about God or people to act because he was being wearied out by this woman, he says, how much more can you ask God who does care about justice and trust him that he will come and do it? Do you get despondent when things don't go right? You see, she couldn't even get the strong guys with the big knopkiris to go and sort out this guy who did the unjust thing to her. That's what some people do. If the system won't help me, I'll do it myself with the help of a couple of thugs. I'll take justice into my own hands and I'll sort it out this side of eternity. She couldn't even do that. Jesus says, well, sometimes that's where you find yourself, isn't it? Where do you go? What do you cry? What's your prayer? Lord, come. You are the one that is just. And when you come, justice will be done. I will not despair. I will not take things into my own hands. Now, you know what? I guess it's at that point where you actually figure out if you really believe Jesus is coming again, isn't it? When you're in such a tight spot that you can't move, that's when you know what you believe. Because you're either sitting there planning how you're going to stuff this person up, or you're going to just throw your hands in the air and maybe take your own life eventually. You can either despair or you're going to become angry. And Jesus says, no, no, pray. Knowing that the God who runs this universe will bring about justice quickly. And you're like, it's been 2,000 years, Lord. How quick is quick? See, listen to what he says. I tell you, he will see that they will get justice and get it quickly. Get it certainly, actually, is the way to translate that. We'll get it certainly. And then the question comes, however, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? See, there's the issue. When you're faced with the injustice of this world, whether it's yours or your loved ones or other people's, where do you go? Do you find that little group that agrees with you and you sit and moan and complain? Or maybe like other guys, you get the team together and you sort it out. Funny, he says, you as Christians, you pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus, when you come again, you'll do justice. I will not despair. I will not take things into my own hands. I will come to you. Like Jesus did not when he was spit at, when he was laughed at, when he was mocked, when he was beaten, he did not retaliate, neither did he make any threats. But he entrusted himself to the one who judges justly. Because he believed. You see, you will always show what you believe. That's what Jesus said. See how amazing this is? This is hard, isn't it? This is a very tough time because our world is at times unbelievably unjust. Hard. Times are good. Don't live for that. Times are bad. Don't live for that. Live by faith in me. In the good and in the bad. Not settling for this because this is not eternal. This is temporary. I'm coming again. Do you believe that? See how Jesus is preparing them? He's helping them. Isn't it amazing, isn't it? And then the last one, which is the most dangerous one, is the deception. How do I pray the kingdom prayer in a dangerously deceptive situation? And this is where all of us are now on. I'm just warning you. Jesus is speaking this to everybody who goes to a place of prayer. A temple, a mosque, a church, a synagogue, wherever you go. The context is, this man is praying against all the unjust, adulterers, evildoers, robbers, tax collectors. I mean, they actually use the system to steal. Sounds familiar? All injustice. What's his danger? He actually thinks God is on his side. So my prayer life is really, yes, Lord, I'm so glad I'm not like those people. God, I really think you should step in because those people are in real need. And I'm not only not doing those. You know, I actually give a tenth. I mean, how many of you give a tenth? I give a tenth. And I fast. I mean, I'm not only not doing those things. I'm doing a whole bunch of right things. Gee, Lord, if there are more people like me, then we wouldn't really need you because justice would be done. Religion and truth is one of the most dangerous things, says Jesus, in this world. Do you remember the previous government's belief? I'm talking about the NP. What did they believe about themselves and God? That God chose us to be the light to the dark Africa. Isn't it? God is on our side. What does the ANC believe about them and God's relationship to God? God is on our side. God is on no one's side. The question, are you on his side? Have you ever thought about that? God is not on your side. God is on his own side. The question is, are you on his side, on his terms? Are you using relative righteousness to think God is on your side? Jesus says that's the greatest danger of not entering the kingdom one day. Because of your relative righteousness, you have an attitude that you are better than others. And you think you're in. Scary thing this, isn't it? Have you ever prayed like that? Shook your head at what you see on the news. How could these people possibly do these things? You know, God should come and nail them. The man who leaves that place justified, all he did is, he said, God, have mercy on me. The word there is actually a very interesting word. It is exactly the word, I need a substitute to die in my place, need. Because I will never be in your kingdom if I use my relative righteousness to think that I should be in. See what Jesus is saying? Quite shocking, isn't it? But it's so true. Just think about it. Do you really think if the world is more like you, it will be a good place? You must be crazy. God's righteousness is way beyond anything that you could even imagine you would like to be. So we don't come to church and pray against the evils of the world out there as if this is a den where we can protect ourselves. We come and we stand before God and we say, God, when we come before you, we do not make it. You need to supply what it is to become part of your kingdom. Let me please never use my relative righteousness to look down my long nose at anybody as if they don't deserve life. There's more sin happening inside places of worship often than outside. Jesus, watch out. Don't be deceived. Your own heart is your greatest deception. Do not for one moment think because you have one or two or three or five righteous ideas that therefore God is on your side. God wants 100% righteousness. That's why we need his son. And it's vital for us when we come to prayer that we realize that, says Jesus. In our fight against injustice, we've got to be careful that we think we are the just and they are the unjust and God must come and sort them out. God is going to sort out all injustice, all unrighteousness. Your only hope is if there's a substitute who died for you. And that's what we celebrated last weekend. And I hope you've been celebrating the whole week. And I hope you'll keep on celebrating that until Jesus comes. That's what he's saying, isn't it? Isn't it amazing? God is not on our side, people. God is on his side. And by his mercy, he brings us to be a part of his side. That's good news. You do not have to think you're better than other people. You are free here just to realize that you're saved by grace, by mercy. That's a good place to be. That's the best place to be. So how do we pray? So who of you are in a good moment in your life? Do you want to ask God to help you not to think that this is how it ought to be and hopefully it will stay like this? And that this is what life is all about, and that you will worry about it tomorrow when you get up. You're worried about eating and drinking and food and all of those things. Or is the overriding concern of your heart the kingdom of God in Christ Jesus, longing for him to come again? How do you pray? Are you praying in the light of the kingdom? Or are you praying in your light, your understanding of the kingdom? You see what he's saying? You want to try it and pray? Maybe you're in a situation where you are being treated unjustly. Maybe you know loved ones are being treated unjustly. Maybe you're in an economic system where you feel it's unjust. What do you pray? Lord Jesus, come. The heart of it. Not the only prayer, the heart of the prayer. And when you think of all those people who are treating you unjustly, you get away with it.
Robbers, adulterers, evildoers, tax collectors.
Actually, Dante was at a res dance on Friday night, and the theme was dress as something terrifying. And four of them dressed like taxmen. The most terrifying thing there is, isn't it? What does your heart's prayer in the multiple situations that life throws at you? Is the dominant reality, Jesus Christ, you are king. And when you come one day, it will be the best. Please help me to live by faith in you until you come. Is that the dominant prayer of your life? Is that what keeps you awake at night, get you excited? Or is it all these other issues? Sleepless nights about keeping what you have and getting more. Sleepless nights about injustices. They are real. And they are real. So, yeah, have sleepless nights about them. But the wonderful thing about the Christians, we have them in the context of the reality of the coming of Christ. Enjoy Jesus Christ now, wherever you are. If you walked in here this morning and you actually think that you're better than people out there, I've got good news for you. You can come to Christ right now and say, Lord Jesus, forgive me for having that upper lip, stiff, long nose. Please forgive me. Give me mercy. Please don't give me justice. Don't give me what I deserve. Give me mercy. Good news, isn't it? So, does anybody want to pray aloud? It's a bit too quick. Maybe you need to process it. I understand that. It's fine. I'm going to give you 2 minutes. Anyone who stands up and pray any one of these things, cry out to God on our behalf as Christians, or yourself, or your family, or your friends, or your enemies. See why the gospel of Jesus Christ must go out. Is that our prayer? Is that our concern? Is that where our energy go, our efforts go, our money go? The gospel must. Jesus says this world will never come right until I return. Not for a moment might you think it would. It'll undo you. Pray for the gospel. I'm going to give you a minute or two. If you feel like it, get up and pray. If you want to come in front, do that, and then I'll close for us.
Oh Lord, I confess that I fear men more than you. I fear men's response. I often fear I don't have the right answers, and therefore I don't speak. So I confess that I find that as my default position. And I'd rather have faith in Jesus, you, Lord, as my default position, that I'm able to pray to you. May your kingdom come. May I fear you, Father, more than man. And may my heart be set free by Jesus to love man as you love man, and not to be afraid not to have an answer, and not to be afraid of man, but to go and love man. So that's my prayer, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Heavenly Father, we thank you that you help us to realize through this part of your word that your plans and purposes are way, way beyond our ability to see and our ability to reconstruct and our ability to work out. We keep on forgetting that you are central to your kingdom and that you always come first. Thank you that you remind us that Jesus Christ came into this world to restore our perspective on life, to forgive us, to enable us to live by faith in you first and foremost, and then secondly, to love our neighbors ourselves. Lord, we thank you that your word addresses the realities of life. Thank you that there's nothing like you. There's no one like you. You don't fool around and you don't make false promises and you don't build sand castles. You tell us that this world can be amazingly ordinary and busy and getting the stuff of life done, and it will destroy us because we were made for you. So please, Lord, help us not to settle for less than you. Help us not to be easily pleased when things go ordinary, or to think that ordinary is the goal. You are our goal. You are our Lord. You are the one who has saved us. And Lord, at times we are on the other side of the stick. We are actually in a position of unbelievable injustice, or other people are. And it's perplexing, and it's frightening. And we are experiencing it right in this country. People are talking about taking your property and your land without compensation. It's a terrifying thing. And yet, Lord, we pray that our faith in Lord Jesus Christ may be stronger, crying out to you, than our fear of what others may do to us. It's real, Lord. They may actually kill us. They may actually take everything we have. And yet you tell us we should fear you because you can also give eternal judgment. And yet your whole focus is on the good of your kingdom, and therefore we should not succumb to despair and not succumb to the danger of taking things into our own hands. Lord Jesus, will you be more clear in our spirits, in our hearts, through your word, as we've seen today, so that we may cry out to you, and that we may even talk to people and those who don't know you and say, well, you know, you can get all the land in this country and you will still die, and it will lead to your destruction. You must know the Lord Jesus Christ. It is absolute paramount. So Lord, pray that we will live more and more in our emotions and our behaviors in the light of that truth that we confess. I think all of us here this morning actually say we believe that. So won't you help us to work it through in that moment when these things clap us from left and right and sometimes from a blind spot, that we will recover and that we will help one another to recover and come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who came willingly to give his life for an unjust, unjust world. He did not run. He did not hide. He didn't end in despair. He deliberately came to give his life as a ransom for many. Oh Lord, help us to see the wonder, the weight, the significance of the Lord Jesus Christ. And help us to help others who are maybe in those situations, not to use it as an excuse for the injustice, but to help them to go beyond injustice to faith in Christ Jesus. Oh Lord, and then when we talk about ourselves and our high views of ourselves and our moments of glory, when we are full of ourselves and we think we are so much better than those out there, oh Lord, please forgive us. Please save us from ourselves. Save us from that insanity that we could possibly think that we are better. And therefore you should listen to our prayers. Oh Lord Jesus, thank you that you package the truth always in such a way that it sets us free from all our delusions. Thank you that you've come to save us. Thank you that despite the fact that we are like this, you still came to save us. We marvel at you, Lord Jesus. Who will we compare you to? Where will we go? Where will we find someone else like you? You have the life-giving words that is eternal. So Lord, even when we're confused and perplexed, maybe we haven't even understood what we've been talking about today, help us to keep on coming to you. And won't you reveal your glory and your wisdom and your centrality to our hearts so that our souls belong for the life that is in Jesus Christ. And so our minds can compute everyday reality to see where it fits into the glory of Christ, so that with our strength we may live and serve your kingdom and not live for this world or for our wives or our husbands or our kids or our friends. But in the midst of our relationships, we live for you, Lord Jesus Christ. Help us to understand the gospel more and more. Thank you for today. Thank you that it confronts us with so many issues. And thank you that you address them all. Thank you that your great desire is to set us free from our understanding so that we may be saved and be reconciled and related to you. Your kingdom come. Your name be glorified. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Provide us, Lord, with what we need to have that perspective. Help us to forgive those who have sinned against us as you've forgiven us. And, oh dear Lord, protect us from the lies of Satan, the lies of our hearts, and the lies of this world. That life or better deal is to be found there. It is only to be found in you, for to you belong all glory and power from now and forever. Amen.